He'll make a good Baptist preacher one day, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. Let's read together, reading from the King James Bible. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. I want you to notice that last phrase after the colon there. It says, and then shall every man have praise of God. Then, at the judgment seat of Christ, then shall every man have praise of God. I'm going to talk to you this morning about then. Let's pray. Dear Holy Spirit of God, thank you, Lord, for the folks that are here this morning. They could have been anywhere else. They decided to come to church. On purpose, they're here. And I pray, dear God, that you'd bless them for being faithful in coming this morning. I know there's others traveling. There's others sick. There's others working. I pray that you bless them and be good to them and watch over them. But I pray, dear God, that we would pay attention on purpose, not be distracted, not be a distraction, that we listen, Lord, to thy word this morning about that awful time where all of us one day will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Then, help us to focus in on then. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. And we're going to go over some of these verses. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us, pay attention, not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one for against another. Verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? If you know anything about the judgment seat of Christ, it is the judgment of believers. Is that the great white throne judgment where lost people will stand before God and give an account of all their sins and then be cast into the lake of fire? The judgment seat of Christ is for believers who have trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And that's when all of us are going to give an account for whatever we've said, whatever we've done in our bodies, good or bad. And you will be there. And that will be the time of judgment for all believers. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 10. Let's turn to it real quick since we're right nearby. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'll start reading in verse number 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 5. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now watch this, verse number 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. God's the biggest terrorist ever, ladies and gentlemen. These guys don't even shine a light of how terrible God is. God is a man of war, the Bible says, and you're going to meet God at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's not your picture of the Pope, Santa Claus, and the Pillsbury Doughboy all wrapped up in one. He's not your imagination of stained glass windows with the queer hands hanging down with long, faggy hair. That's not the picture of, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. One day you will meet Jesus face to face and you will stand before him and give an account. And that will be the day of judgment for all believers. That's why the Bible says, Paul writes, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14 says, pay attention, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Jeremiah 16, 17 says, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. God knows what you're doing. God knows what you're thinking. God knows where you've been, and God knows what your motives are. They're not secret to God. They may be secret to you, but not to God. Jesus said in Matthew 7, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In Luke chapter number 6, Jesus said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, ye shall be forgiven. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Turn to Romans chapter number 2, please. Romans chapter number 2, the 6th book in the New Testament, starting in verse number 1. Romans chapter number 2, verse number 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Go pick it up at verse number, verse 14, we might as well keep reading. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. If you jump down all the way down to, boy, I hate to miss all this. Let's keep reading verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Now pay attention, please. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Those are scary verses, ladies and gentlemen. Knowing the terror of the Lord, therefore we persuade men. Go to Romans chapter 14. This is just the introduction. The sermon's going to be shorter. I'm talking about, and you notice, the judgment seat of Christ, where we're all going to stand, the then, has a lot to do with judging. And God's very careful in the Word of God that we don't jump to conclusions, premature conclusions, unfounded conclusions, and judge not righteous judgment. Romans chapter 14, verse number 3 and 4. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth not, that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Look at verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the, here it is again, the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's taken out of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23, where it says, "All every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess." And this is, in Romans chapter number 14, it says Jesus Christ, which tells you that Jehovah God in the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same God, ladies and gentlemen. In Romans chapter number 2, verse 16, the judgment is by Jesus Christ. In John 5, verse 22, the judgment is by Jesus Christ. In Acts 10, 42, and in Acts 17, 31, the judgment is by the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I, if you're saved, if you're in a believer, will stand before God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give an account of the life that we have lived. Not for salvation, but for what we've done in our bodies, good and bad. James 4:10, 12 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Strong language, ladies and gentlemen. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Jesus said in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So, I listed all these verses. We read all these verses about Jesus being very, very direct about not judging, not judging, not condemning, not judging, not judging, not judging. Because with what judgment you judge, it's going to be meted right back to you. Too often, we're too quick to judge. We're too quick, before we know the whole story about something, to jump to a false conclusion. And you ought to wait a long while before you make the right kind of a judgment. And all of us make judgments. All of us make judgments. Probably every single day of our lives. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death or life. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, verse 24 and 25, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some people are just blatant about their sins, and it's obvious that they're sinning. You don't even have to make the judgment. You just see it for yourself. 1 Timothy 5 says that. And some men, they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and that they are otherwise cannot be hid. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So there's some people, they're sinning so much outwardly, they really don't care. It's obvious to anybody who knows some little bit about the Bible that, man, they're just sinning against God. And then those others who are trying to live for God or do something for God, they're obvious also because you can see, well, they're trying to live for God. They're trying to do right. They're coming to church. They're reading their Bibles. They're going soul winning. They're trying. Those things are obvious on both ends. Too many people, and even believers, jump to false conclusions without knowledge of the entire story or all the details. The safest way to judge someone or something is to allow them to prove their faithfulness to you instead of you being overly critical and overly judgmental of them. In other words, you need to be satisfied that they are trustworthy and honest and sincere. Just because they have not proved that to you yet, and you have not been persuaded yet, does not mean that you are judging them. You are waiting and putting off any judgment until they have proven to you one way or another who or what they really are. If someone gets angry with you because you have not trusted them yet, or you do not have enough faith in them, that is not your fault. You should have a minimum of a certain weight of proof that must be met before you are persuaded to trust someone, because God says, cursed be the man that putteth his trust in man. It is not their fault they let you down. It is really your fault for not judging them correctly and appropriately beforehand, before you trusted them. How often you've heard this, he said, she said, you get one side of the story. The best way is to get both sides together, he said, she said, together, and then get God's side. But too many people want to tell you their side without the other side. You don't get the whole story. You can easily be persuaded by someone. I've been in court for, I don't know how, I've been doing this for 37, 38 years. How many times I told you, when that prosecutor stands up and he opens a case, I said, this guy's guilty, man. They ought to shoot him, hang him, and fry him at the same time. Then he sits down, the defense attorney gets up, and when he's done, I said, man, that prosecutor's a liar. He's trying to convict this false guy, this innocent guy, of some false crime. You won't know the entire story unless you hear the entire story. But too often you jump to some false conclusion based on one person's opinion, one person's side of the view, of the news, or one side of their story. And that is not right, ladies and gentlemen. God will judge you according to the word of God and out of your own mouth. Job 15:6 says, thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. You know, you think we got these fancy recorders and videos and whatever you have on that phone. You know, you can replay any kind of video you want. You wait till you get to heaven. You replay some of the words and your actions that you don't want to be recorded, that you didn't want to be recorded. And your own words are going to come back to haunt you. And it's going to be your own words that are going to convict you when you stand before God Almighty based on the truth of the word of God. When the words that you said in secret that you think nobody heard, the thoughts that you had in only your mind that you thought nobody knew about, it will all be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. Job 9 verse 20 says, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall prove me perverse. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Luke 19, verse 22, Jesus said, he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. You think, well, they're going to have to build a case against me. You know what? You bring enough proof to convict yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Then we walk around all puffed up, all proud. We think we're a know-it-all. We look so pious and religious, like we're better than everybody else. You say, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with her? Well, she's a woman. That's what's wrong with them. Say, what's wrong with him? That's because you're not old enough and wise enough to understand life yet. Remember when you were single and you thought to yourself, what is wrong with that married couple? Then, when you got married, you understand some of the difficulties that married life can bring. Remember, you didn't have any children. You criticized the parents who spoiled their children, and you thought they were brats and needed a good whipping, and those parents were too spineless to take care of their children. Then, you had children, and your hands were full, and you couldn't keep up with everything. Remember when your children were 3 and 4 years old and so adorable and so cute, and you saw some rebellious teenagers and you thought to yourself and told other people, what is wrong with those teenagers? What is wrong with those parents that allow their teenagers to act like that and be like that? And then you had teenagers. You have no idea of all the things that go on in a person's mind and heart. You have no idea of all the things that a person has gone through in life. You have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. You have no idea what goes on inside the car before people arrive at church. They're arguing, kicking up the storm, cursing each other at the house. They get in the car. They're yelling at each other. As soon as they get out of the church, in front of the church, they smile. Hi, everybody. Hi. Hi, everybody. You know I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Hey, that's the best way to raise some hypocrites in the back seat, by the way. They'll know how to turn just like that when they see mom and dad arguing at home, arguing in the car, but real nice and pious in church building. And then you say, what's wrong with, how do my kids turn out that way? Just follow the example. Is this on? Is that working this morning? Huh? We want to blame everybody else, don't we? Blame the teacher, blame Hillary. Why don't you blame Hillary? Huh? Blame Trump. Everything is still Bush's fault, you know? Blame somebody else. Don't blame yourself. Blame someone else. I am a very critical and judgmental person. I know that. I know I am. Because of that, I try very hard to keep my criticism and judgment in check and to wait as long as possible before I have to come to a conclusion or a judgment or a criticism. Every time I go to some other church, as I said this morning, I look at everything. I'm like a sponge. I take in everything, whether I like it or whether I dislike it, whether I agree with it, whether I disagree with it. But I do not know how long the pastor has been there to change some things. I do not know the structure, the leadership of the church, and how much control and influence the pastor has with the deacon board or the membership of the church. I do not know whether that church has just had a church split or some major difficulty that is going through. I do not know what the financial situation is in that church. I do not know if the pastor's wife is giving the pastor a tough time about preaching and teaching right things. I do not know whether the pastor's children or teenagers are causing problems in the pastor's family or the church family. I do not know the heartaches and the burdens of the people who gather for church. I do not know the spiritual thermometer of the church or the people by just one visit. It is impossible to tell. Just because a church can put on a good show, like a theater production, trying to impress visitors, does not mean they are right with God. It does not mean that they are not right with God. I just don't know. The most important part of a church is the teaching and preaching of the King James Bible. Some pastor asked Brother Hiles one time, he was preaching, as Brother Hiles used to go, and he got him alone in some council, I guess. He said, Brother Hiles, what's wrong with my church? Brother Hiles said this, I don't know. I have to be here 52 weeks a year to find out. It is very dangerous to get a snapshot of a one-time meeting and allowing that to be the only basis for you making a false judgment about any church. Somebody shows up on the record-breaking day of our church and comes away thinking, wow, that church has a lot of people. They didn't realize that people like watermelon and hot dogs instead of the preaching. Or guns. Somebody else shows up a year or two before or after on the lowest attendance of the entire year, and they walk away thinking, wow, there's almost nobody going to that church. Two very different perspectives about the exact same church at different times. So the only time they've been there is at one time. And one person says, wow, they got a big church because the only time they were there is full. Somebody else comes and, man, there's nobody here on Wednesday night Bible study. There's about 5 or 7 people there. And that place is dead. There's nobody there. About the same body, the same church. So many states, same thing is true about countries. Depending on when or where you visit a country, you can get two very different perspectives from the same country. You can go to vacation spots or you can go to slums. So many states are advertising why people should move to their states. They say the economy is booming here, the vacation spots are great, the taxes are lower, the gun laws are good, there's more job opportunities, and it goes on and on. At the same time, communist Red China and communist Cuba and communist North Korea, communist Russia, other communist countries and the Islamic countries, the only thing they show their people about America is the slums, the dilapidated buildings, code enforcement, you know. The murder rate, the drug culture, the crime problem, the suicides, the divorce rate, the queers, the faggots, the sodomites, the political corruption. The proper thing is to take both sides and look at it all. Don't have blinders on that blocks your view of reality. That's how you get a proper conclusion or a proper judgment, the right kind of judgment to make. People are the same way. You meet a person one time and you think you can size them up by meeting them one time and talking to them one time. You'll know everything you need to know about them, and you don't know that they just schmooze you over, man. They're a good talker. You watch one movie, they're acting, they're lying just to make a buck. These actors and actresses, a bunch of adulterers and adulteresses, they're lying through their teeth, they're crying, they're shedding tears because they're getting paid to do it. And you like their love stories that are a bunch of fake and baloney, and you're won over by them acting one time in a movie. That's a very false conclusion based on a lack of experience and time and history in dealing with an individual. Do you know anything about their background? Do you know anything about their parents, their education, their history, their crime history, their criminal history, their tendency to lie and exaggerate, their tendency to be honest, their tendency to not keep their word, to always be late, to go back on their word, to be lazy or selfish? Or a hard worker, to care about others, to be self-centered, or a compromiser, to be disloyal, or to be disrespectful, or to be honest, or to be a quitter, to be a mocker, one that hates God, or one that loves Jesus and cares about people, who loves the Word of God, loves the King James Bible? Do you know their history about being disobedient to God or rebellious against the Word of God? You don't know that from one meeting. You don't know their history, but you make a snap judgment about somebody. Up to a false conclusion most times. You don't know if somebody's narcissistic, whether they're a good parent, whether they're struggling, whether they honor their parents, whether they respect their elders, or whether they're a smooth talker. Yeah? You may come to a conclusion based on meeting a person one time, but you must always understand that was only one time you met them and talked to them. It could have been a very good day for them or a very bad day for them. They may have told you something that didn't sit right with you, and you took it completely wrong, and that's all you thought about since you met them. Or they may have said something to you that impressed you, and you came away thinking with the wrong thought of thinking more highly of them than you ought to have thought. You won't know until you learn more about them, talk to them more, communicate with them more, listen to them more, converse with them more, eat with them, be with them, fellowship with them. And as time goes on, you learn more and more about a person. That is why it is important for you to look at someone's track record instead of only listening to what they say. My Sunday school teacher used to say, "Your actions are speaking so loud that I cannot hear what you're saying." There's a truth in that, ladies and gentlemen. Your actions are speaking so loud I cannot hear what you're saying. When someone stays in the same area they grew up in, they have a reputation of who they really are. Most people keep moving because of either work, financial reasons, family reasons, or because they've ruined the reputation in that area and no one believes a word that comes out of their mouth and they want to start over somewhere else. How's your reputation? How's your word? That's why God waits until the day you die to judge your life. Even though God judges you now for every sin, because only God knows the hearts of men, you're going to reap exactly what you sow in this life or at the judgment and out into eternity. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, if God himself waits until people die to judge them at the judgment, then why do you think you shouldn't hold off on your judgment of people until much later? You cannot really judge someone right until after they have died and then look back at their life and see what kind of life they lived. Obviously, you will never be able to tell that person in this lifetime about what you believe they really are like as fully as you can because you don't know everything about their life or what they will do before they die. As I said earlier, it seems as the entire world is going bonkers and people are going off the deep end. What you may have thought were good, rational people end up doing some of the most stupid or heinous things that shock you. And you say, "I can't believe so-and-so would do that or say that." Well, that's because you don't read what God said, what Jesus said in the Word of God about people and how evil the heart of man really is. You're listening to unsaved, ungodly people who believe that people are basically good. That's not what God says. God says man is wicked. There are so many people who hold dark, secret evils and wickedness in their hearts that only God knows about until they act on it, and then it is public knowledge. And then friends and family gasp and say, "That's not the so-and-so I know. It's not his character." Well, it is part of his character because that's what he did or that's what he said. You just never knew about their entire character until it showed up in the public square of news or gossip. Some people can control themselves and some people have no self-control. Some people love the word of God and want to obey God to the best of their abilities while others hate God. Some people are mild-mannered and easygoing while others are hot-tempered and always easily agitated and angry. Some people are forgiving and merciful to people who hurt them, while others are unmerciful and unforgiving. Some people are always looking to reconcile, while others purposefully want to hold a grudge for the rest of their lives and are bitter because of it. Some people are honest and open in dealing with others, while others are deceitful and deceptive toward others. Some people care about others and look for ways to help others, while others want the entire world to know on Facebook every detail about how in love they are with themselves, with their beauty and their money and their adventures. Look, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not angry if you're on Facebook. I think it's a great tool to rekindle relationships with family, friends, high school people that you haven't met in 5 or 10, 20 years. I think it can be used for good things. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not on Facebook. But I'll tell you this much, I believe most people on there are narcissistic, they're full of themselves, and they put their selfies on there, they want everybody to look how beautiful they are. You think everybody's more concerned what time you go to the bathroom, what time you brush your teeth, and what you're eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's something wrong with you, ladies and gentlemen. There's more important things in this life than telling everybody all the little details in your life. Why don't you tell them all about your dark secrets in your heart and your mind that you know are not right with God? People will eventually show you who they really are, for most part. Sometimes it's rather soon, sometimes it takes a long time to figure it out. But one day, then, the entire world is going to know who you really were. what you were thinking, what you did, the good and the bad, what your motives were, what your thoughts were, what your motivation was, what your intentions were, what deeds you did when no one was looking. How much time you spent praying on your knees in your prayer closet when no one was watching. How much time you spent reading the Word of God every single day. How much time you spent soul winning, trying to win souls, trying to persuade friends, loved ones, and acquaintances from ending up in hell. How much time you spent on your stupid phone, your fake book, on social media, in front of the television, watching ungodly videos and ungodly movies. How much time you spent with the wrong crowd. How often you lied to others. How selfish you were. How lazy you were. How uncaring you were. How spineless you were. How ungrateful you were. It's all going to come out. If that's going to happen, and it's going to happen, then why don't you get right now and not have to go through all that? And ask God for mercy and forgiveness now. And do something for God now. Then we will all go through the fire of the judgment seat of Christ, where we will all have to give an account then. You will not be able to cancel this meeting then. You will not be able to get out of this appointment then. You will not be late for this date that God has marked down on his calendar and which is unbeknownst to you then. You will not be able to stop the replay of all the times you cursed God and used his name in vain, blasphemed, were a false witness, hated righteousness, hated old-fashioned preaching, hated the standards, hated the rules, hated everything to do with living a separated and godly life for Jesus Christ then. We are all going to find out then. Yeah, buddy. Then, listen to me good, then all your texts will be revealed. Then all your emails will be published. Then all your secrets will be known. Then all your dark and evil thoughts will be revealed. Then all the times you helped the needy will be broadcast. Then all the times you sacrificed for your children, your family will be revealed. Then when you felt like giving up and throwing in a towel and no one else knew about it, everyone will know that you loved others more than yourself then. And that's why you didn't quit. Then everyone will know that you believe God's word about not quitting and hoping against hope, just like Abraham did. Then everyone will know that you are able to love God and praise God, even through all the tears and heartaches and burdens that you were going through that no one else knew about, but they'll find out then. Then people will change their minds about their false impressions about you. There will be some who seem to live a godly, separated life before others, but inside they were whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. They were lovers of money and lovers of pleasure instead of their real motivations and were selfish and vain, and it will not be revealed until then. There will be some who were disparaged and hated by the rebels of God, and they were attacked for some sin or mistake or error in their life. Yet when everyone will then know how humble and submissive they were before God, trying to do the right thing and trying to live right despite them not being sinless and God being pleased with them overall and saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, then. Then we'll all know how good and how right your spirit and attitude really was. Then what you thought about the holiness of God and how wretched and evil and wicked you thought you were is all going to be revealed. Then we'll all know what you thought about sin and evil and wickedness and rebellion and disobedience. Then we'll know how concerned you were about lost souls who are one breath from dying and end up in hell for all eternity. Then we'll know what you thought about truth, the truth, and honesty. Then we'll all know what you thought about the devil, the world, and your flesh. Then we'll all know whether you are a compromiser who compromised the truth to get a little gain and ill favor from others. How hard your heart was towards the truth and others and righteousness and godliness and purity. How selfish and self-centered you were and being concerned about yourself more than God and others. What you thought about your parents' advice or counsel and love and warnings. What you thought about the preacher's advice and counsel and teaching and preaching and warning and love. How vain and worldly and lustful you were, chasing pleasures and riches instead of spiritual truths and principles. How lazy, excuse-laden, indifferent, uncaring, and nonchalant you were about the only life you had, the life that God had given you, to love and worship Him, to reach others for Jesus Christ, to see the lost get saved, and to be the right kind of example to others and pointing them to the Savior, instead of judging everybody prematurely and being a stumbling block to them. You ought to read Deuteronomy chapters 28 and 30, the famous if-then chapters, where God says, if you obey Him, He'll bless you. If you disobey Him, then He'll curse you. Hebrews 9:27 says, as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. Then. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, dear God, for the love that You've shown us, that You commended toward us, and that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us while we were sinners on our way to hell. Your mercy and Your forgiveness and Your love was laid open to the entire world when Your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on our behalf so that we could be saved. And one day, every single person is going to stand before You. The lost, who have rejected You as their Savior, will stand at the great white throne judgment before they're cast into the lake of fire. But those of us who are saved, those of us who have been born again, believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been saved by Your good grace. We may not think about it often, but one day we are going to stand before You, and we are going to give an account. What a terrible, awful day that will be. We're going to be there. Then, how much better will it be to show up at the judgment seat of Christ with a clean heart and a clean mind, with clean, pure motives, trying to do the best that we can for Thee and for others, before we show up guilty and die the wrong way? My prayer is, dear God, that this morning, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that today would be the day of their salvation. They would come get right with You and trust You as their Savior, realizing that they're one breath from hell and believing the Lord Jesus Christ that they must be born again. And my prayer is for those of us who claim to be saved. We may think that we fooled somebody. We may think that we've tricked somebody. We may think we pulled the wool over somebody's eyes. We may think nobody else knows about what I'm doing, what we're doing. But Lord, You know everything. And one day it will be broadcast from the rooftops. And Lord, every single secret is going to be made public. The best thing to do is get things right now. So when then comes, we'll stand before You as honestly as we possibly can, not as guilty as we possibly can. Dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts. Bless this invitation. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Whatever your need is, You come and do business with God. Christians praying.